There is a need for community, and we have to work to rekindle that, even though there is an ongoing undermining of the need for those relationships. We have to show that not only are they needed, but they can be trusted, and they are essential in the life of believers. We have to be faithful with the Bible to address real-world struggles.
From Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute, this is the Level Paths Podcast. We're glad you've taken some time to join us. My name is Chris Weigel. The last episode of Level Paths was part one of a two-part series titled, How Has Ministry Changed Since COVID-19? Dr. Matt Shamblin laid out three major concerns with which our society is struggling: an increase in mental health issues, fractured trust and institutional skepticism, and divisions and loneliness. This is part two of that series, and Dr. Matt has some answers.
We have been talking about the way that COVID-19, the way that the pandemic changed ministry. As I told you before, this all really stems from a simple, brief conversation with a retired pastor who said, no, ministry has not changed. COVID-19 did not change the way that we carry out ministry. And a little bit deeper dive shows that, in fact, almost every area of life has changed since the pandemic. This, in its own way, has been quite a relief for me because, although I'm willing to admit that ministry is not easy and that I am maybe not the greatest pastor ever, the things that I'm experiencing and the conversations that I'm having with other pastors is not lost in space, but rather we have been experiencing genuine change, and there's a genuine change in society, and there's a genuine change within ministry. And so I want to dive back into that. I have to be honest with you. I wanted to have this conversation with some folks who have interactions in a broader way with other pastors, and we weren't able to get that scheduled, which really resulted in me to take a deeper dive into some research that revealed that there are some real, genuine, substantive ways that society has changed. The research comes from many different disciplines to show that the pandemic had an impact on us mentally. It had an impact on the way that we trust organizations. It has had an impact on the way that we relate to one another. We saw all of those in our last episode, and now we're going to dive in to the way that it changed the workplace. Before the pandemic, 14% of remote capable workers worked from home regularly. Now that's over 80%. The way that we work has changed. This hasn't become a temporary thing, but this has become something that is really set in the fabric of work relations. In fact, they said that employee-to-employee engagement has declined to decade low, and though that employees may feel a greater amount of flexibility, they're calling this great detachment. Now, I want you to think about what happens in our churches. Many have said that they've had a greater time getting people to engage consistently like they were before. And this all really connects to the way that we relate to institutions, even institutions like our work. Gallup research shows that this great detachment results in employees feeling increasingly disconnected from their jobs despite having flexibility. And though that this flexibility should theoretically enhance satisfaction, it's actually resulted in people are less satisfied, more detached from their jobs than ever before. Now, think about what that does with the church. That a church obviously isn't the place where most people work, but it is an institution in which people are connected. And that connection seems to have grown more loose than any time in the past. And we saw this decline before, but people were considered to be regular church attenders if they attended church two or three times a week. Now, if they attend church two or three times in a quarter, they consider themselves to be faithful and very much connected to the church. When we think about the workplace, remote workers report feeling less connected to colleagues, missing the informal mentorship and relationship building that just occurred with people being in close proximity to one another. We see that in the church as well, that when people are disconnected from their workplace, disconnected from the people that they relate to on a daily basis, their fellow employees, this is going to impact the way we connect socially. This is going to impact allegiance to institutions. And because of that, there's going to be less connection and commitment to the local church. And we've seen some of that. Like I said before, churches are at about two-thirds of where they were before the pandemic. And really, many have said that final third, they're just never going to come back. I know that myself as a pastor and many other pastors that I talk to have tried and tried to reach out to that one-third that's just kind of hanging out there. And the desire to engage with the church is all but gone. This really shows the desire to connect with church activities, service, connecting in community has been changed. I remember people talking about revivals in the past. I am a part of a church that has a long history of revivals. And even before the pandemic, it was very difficult to get people committed to coming out on a nightly basis, even for an abbreviated time with revivals. And in the past, revivals in America were traditionally 10 days long, or even more than that. There would be services twice a day, once in the morning after the morning milking, and once in the evening after the evening feeding. Think about it. They're going to be on farms. These people are working largely on farms, and so they needed to first milk the cows, and then they could come to church, and then they needed to feed the cows, and then they could come to church. But that changed. That changed to one time a day, and then it changed from Sunday to Wednesday, and then just on a Sunday. We've seen that decreasing, and as we've talked about, we can see that acceleration of those changes. But as the research shows, people are not just exhausted in their relating to one another, but they're exhausted from the amount of work that they're expected to do and the blurring of boundaries. Just recently, I was in a training. We were sitting around the table, and people started to share. And this was a training that was largely really something that didn't exist in any major way since 2022, an AI training. And one of the guys who was doing the training started to talk about how he started this company. And really, it came as a result of the blurring of work and private life boundaries. And then many other people, as they moved around the table, they were talking about, yes, you know, my family was out on vacation and I had to take work calls and I had folks over and I had to go to work. And to be honest with you, I kind of sat there in silence, not in any way critical of the people of what they were saying. That's not the way that I mean this at all. But I had to admit that those blurring of boundaries as a pastor is something that I have experienced every day of my work life for now decades. That's not to anyone's credit. In fact, that is just an emphasis that I have to make for pastors out there, this blurring of the lines. I know that many pastors have not had a vacation that went uninterrupted in years, that they have not had a night out with a spouse that went uninterrupted or a free weekend in years, because those boundaries have always been blurred. The expectation for many pastors is that you are to be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Folks, that is not a healthy church. A healthy church is not one that requires the pastor to be available at all times. The only one who is available at all times is the Lord. So when we think about the pandemic, this blurring, this redefinition of work and redefinition of work commitment, we can only make that step to recognize that there is a redefinition of church commitment. The research, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, the research is there. But remember, people work differently now than they did before the pandemic. And so they're going to relate differently now than they did before the pandemic. They're available for church activities, volunteering, community service has all been changed. The patterns that had been there in the past for churches is no longer there. After having pastored for more than 20 years, I had learned how to predict what attendance was going to look like at any given time, what engagement was going to look like, when people would go on vacation and when they would come back. All of that's changed because the way people relate to those grounding institutions like work, like family, the way that they relate to those have all changed. And so we can either press against that and push back against it and lose, or we can meet people where they are and minister to them where they are. People are exhausted in navigating these things, and yet we need to come to them and minister to them where they are and teach them how to navigate life with biblical principles in the times that are a-changing, if you will. So not only did the pandemic change the way that we work, it also changed the way that we relate, that society relates to spiritual formation and spiritual institutions. The research shows that in-person attendance dropped roughly 75% during the pandemic to about 33% during the lockdown. And then some of the churches adapted quickly and others did not. I want to make a point here. As pastors have tried to learn how to navigate this since the pandemic, there is that question. What does it look like then as we are trying to continue to navigate these things? Well, the churches that bounced back quicker, and none of them have bounced back to 100%, but the ones that bounced back quicker were more quickly able to adapt to things like live streaming, virtual community, and technology. So technology played somewhat of a role before the pandemic. Technology plays a massive role now, and these things are not going away. I know that there are some who have just completely done away with virtual live streaming services and those things, and every person has to make those decisions on their own. But remember this, the ones that were able to bounce back were the ones that were able to adapt to technology. Think about it. Technology changed the way that we work. Technology changed the way that we relate to one another. This was coming before the pandemic, but then accelerated in the pandemic. And many of those things have never come back. I remember having a conversation with one of my staff members, and he loves going to the movies. I love going to the movies. And we were convinced that going to the movies would never come back. But the truth is, it is not back the way that it was before. There are so many things, whether it's ordering ahead or ordering our food on our devices, all of those things have changed. Going to the grocery store, those things have changed, and they're not going to go back to the way that they were. So, in the context of the local church, there are some things that cannot be replaced. Community. You can do Bible teaching online. I'm not saying that Bible teaching that we should just pipe in a major Bible teacher, and then that would be our church. I'm not saying that at all. We have an expectation as a pastor to shepherd the flock of God among us, that God has called men to pastor churches and shepherd them through the teaching of the Word of God. Yet, if people are connecting to churches virtually, we still have to figure out a way to get them into community. What does that look like? How can we make that happen? People need not just a pastor to teach them the Word of God, but they need other believers to pour into them and opportunities for them to pour into other believers. These are things that are very much needed in the local church. And we have to ask these tough questions. We have to figure out how to navigate them. when we think about this, there were churches that bounced back quicker than others. The ones who were more conservative bounced back at a quicker rate than the ones that were more liberal. That's what the research shows. In fact, a lot of the liberal churches basically never bounced back at all because people essentially figured out that they liked their life without faith as an element. Now, I want you to think about it. What the Bible teaches us is that there were those who went out from us because they were never really of us. There's an amount of winnowing that's taken place in that, and I don't want this to be an excuse, but there's an amount of winnowing that's just taken place during the pandemic that some have gone out, and it really has proven that they were never really apart anyway. And I'm not talking about, this is not an excuse for those who were ran off, or those, I'm not talking about church conflict or those types of issues, or people who have become invalids or anything like that. What I am saying is that my theology would teach me that if a person is really in the faith, then there's going to be a work of the Holy Spirit in them that shows them their need to be around other believers and going to draw them to being around other believers. And if you're not in the faith and you're satisfied with a life that really has no faith element in it whatsoever, there's a question there, then were you ever really in the faith in the first place? The pandemic really revealed a lot of that. There's a lot of churches with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on the church rolls that never had any commitment whatsoever to the local church. The issues were all emphasized. I remember years ago, I was leading an organization and we were having some pretty significant financial problems. And I sat down with a friend of mine who was an accountant, and we went through a lot of where we were financially with this institution. And he told me, he said, you know, Matt, when the money's good, then all the sins are covered. But when the money's bad, they're all revealed. Well, that same principle really stands to reason as a result of the pandemic in the local church, that when things were going as normal, as we could say, a lot of these things were ignored. But when the pandemic came and there were pressures socially, there were pressures even from the government, there were pressures medically, then on and on and on you could go, then the things that really weren't a great priority, or they were revealed not to be a great priority as they were pushed to the side. That's really what we see as a result of the pandemic, that the way that we work and relate to one another has been changed, and this spiritual commitment, the way that people are impacted spiritually, has changed. But I would remind you, there's an expectation that we have as pastors, as ministers. The Apostle Peter said it this way, "I therefore exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and a witness the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under the compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." We've got to remember that as believers and as pastors, we are to be an example to the flock. Now, there may be those who constantly remind us that things are not the way that they used to be before the pandemic or in the heyday of the church. But God has called us to be faithful in the time in which we minister, that we cannot faithfully pastor the church, the flock of God among us, if we're wishing that it was the flock of God of the past. And so there's an expectation, pastor the flock of God that you have. Invest in those leaders now, because the impact of that is compounding. If we're constantly wishing this church to be different, and yet we are not investing the truth in these believers, then that catalyst for change, that fuel for the fire of change, has not been placed. We must remember that God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. He's called us to invest in the believers that he has allotted to our charge, and not the ones of yesteryear, not the ones that we wish they were. We are to be found faithful now. The pandemic may have changed the way that people relate to their work. It may have changed the way that the people relate to their spiritual commitments. We can wish things were different, or we can invest in people now and trust God for the increase. The research shows that not only did the pandemic change the way we relate to work, relate spiritually, but it also changed the way that people view life. And of all the elements of research that I found, this was the one that was the most revealing. Because what the research shows is that this pandemic created within people an amount of resilience, but it also caused them to reevaluate their priorities. Years ago, a book was published called The Essential Church. And really, it all boils down to, if people don't find church essential in their life, then it won't be a commitment that they have. Well, that's very much the case that we see as a result of the pandemic. While we've seen that about a third of those people have gone away and never come back, and in our case, the ones who did, many of those who did come back are different than the ones who were there in the first place. People have reevaluated their priorities. And if they're not taught to have a biblical view of not just their faith, but also the way that they relate to one another in the local church in their faith, if they're not taught a biblical view of that and they've reevaluated their priorities, then it only stands to reason that they would value the local church and connection with the local church in a much more diminished way. The research shows that 8 in 10 Americans over the age of 18 found at least one new hobby during the pandemic. The people are taking more leisure time now than ever before. Everyone really recognized that people were going to go on vacation in the summertime. But what we see now is that people go on vacation in the summertime, people go on vacation in the fall. In the past, basically, the congregation almost in total regathered in the fall, and now they regather in a part for about a week, and then they go on vacation again. That their leisure time has a larger role in their lives than any time in the past. They're pursuing these new hobbies. These hobbies are taking on a greater role. The leisure time's taking on a greater role because, I mean, think about what we've heard over the previous podcast and this one. They now view those founding elements like work differently. They're more free to work from home than ever before or work remotely than ever before. They don't trust organizations. There's a question whether they even need to connect to a local church. All of these things play a bigger role, a defining role in the local church. And then you take that element of leisure and you plug it in there, and that really creates what's going to be an uphill battle. There really is, as the research revealed, this great rethink of priorities. I would remind you that if we're going to see people have a commitment to the local church, then we're going to need to show them from the scriptures how that a relationship with Jesus Christ is a relationship with Jesus Christ that by the work of the Holy Spirit connects us to the local church, that Jesus Christ died for the church. That's what the Bible teaches us. And that's not just some ethereal idea that's out there, but that broad view of the church is manifest in the local body, that there is a need emotionally, a need socially, a need spiritually to connect with people in a real way in community. And you need a pastor that's shepherding your soul, that physician of the soul. We're going to need to teach people this because society is teaching them otherwise. And if people are going to live in a peculiar way in this world, then we're going to have to show them as they have been led to rethink what it means. Pastor, as we really assess the impacts of all that has been brought to bear as a result of the pandemic, we're going to need to be serious about what the Bible says in dealing with some of the most difficult areas of life. We're going to need to show them how to bring the Bible to bear in dealing with their insecurities and anxieties and challenges. We're going to need to earn that credibility back. We cannot just demand it. You can stand on your soapbox and demand allegiance all you want, but folks are going to need to see that though they may not be able to trust other areas, there may be real reason to question other institutional areas in their life, that the local church is not just trustworthy, but the local church, that the church is the bride of Christ and deserves their allegiance, that our presence matters. Though in the past there may be a new program for everything, those programs have got to be replaced with presence, being with one another. Living with one another in community matters, and that's not automatic. We've got to work to facilitate those. People need those. From the youngest to the oldest, they need those relationships. I remember during COVID, we just had a meet-and-greet drive-through. Literally, it sounds so out there now. Even at the time, I was a little skeptical if this was even needed. But at a distance, all of our staff gathered out in the parking lot, and people just drove by. That's it. Drove through the parking lot. We have a decently large campus, and people just drove by. And I cannot tell you how there were people who would drive by and cry as they saw us. We didn't shake hands. We didn't hug them. We were just waving people, and they were crying. We were created for community. And though the pandemic may have driven us apart and it may have ingrained in us this division, there is a need for community, and we have to work to rekindle that, even though, and I believe it's satanic, even though there is an ongoing chipping away and undermining of the need for those relationships. We have to show that not only are they needed, but they can be trusted, and they're important. They are essential in the life of believers. We have to be faithful with the Bible to address real-world struggles. I've heard people say, and their intention seemed to be well-placed, that we just need to teach the Bible and not address the real struggles of life. My friend, that's what the Bible does in every book. Each book is almost like a prescription to deal with issues of wisdom, issues of even marital and dating relationships, and on you can go. Yes, we need to be faithful expositors of God's word. We need to show people how to bring that faithful exposition to bear in their life, that it impacts. What God's word says is not just good for theology, but it's good for life, that it impacts how we live and what we do. We've got to be faithful in that. It's going to take work. It's going to cause us to rethink. But when we show, here's what God says in his word, and here's how this impacts the way that we view work, how we understand family, how we understand social relationships, how we understand these struggles, then it only adds to those who are going to the Bible to address the struggles of life. That sense that we've had, that things have changed since COVID, the way that we do ministry has changed since COVID, is justified. It's real. Ministry has changed since COVID. COVID changed the way that we view our work, the way that we relate together socially, the way that we understand technology, the way that we see the need for our spirituality. It's all changed. The research shows it. It's undeniable. And so now our ministry must be contextualized to address those needs, and so that that same gospel that's never changing, those same biblical doctrines that do not change, are just as impactful today as they have been in the past. It's been refreshing in a way. It's been a deep dive into how we've changed since the pandemic, but it's been helpful because it showed us that the things we're experiencing really are justified. They are real. The research backs it up. And so now we've got to take what we've learned and shape ministries to address the needs of people like never before.
We need to be faithful now. We need to invest in the church now, not in what it was. Yes, things have changed, and there is data to prove it. But this is not when we throw up our hands, and it's certainly not the time to sit back and wish for the days when things were better or different. As a pastor and ministry leader, God has called you to serve His people now, today. And to repeat what Dr. Matt said, we need to be faithful concerning what the Bible says about how to handle real-world struggles. Do you believe that God's Word has the power to do that? Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute exist as a resource. And if you need more information on the topic of this Level Paths episode, you can reach out to Dr. Matt Shamblin at the Appalachian Ministry Institute by email, matt.shamblin@tsbc.edu. The Level Paths Podcast is an outreach of Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute.